Well, please take your Bibles in hand again. We'll be looking at Romans 1:17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 for our text this afternoon regarding our righteous standing before the Lord. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of you probably know that old TV show, Little House on the Prairie, which portrays the hard life of the Ingalls out on the prairies in the early days when people were settling in to different parts of South Dakota, Minnesota. Anytime the crop was destroyed by hail or part of the house burned down or the barn would burn down or the children would suffer some health problem, everyone in the family would look to Pa for advice. And Pa, at least the Michael Landon version of Pa, would say, well, we have to have faith. We have to have faith. Faith is going to see us through. But it was kind of an undefined faith. Faith in what? It's more of a hope than anything else. Well, such was the advice of Pa, at least on that TV show. But this kind of subjective faith is something that people exercise every day. If you hop on the bus this week, you trust in the bus driver that he's not going to crash the bus. Or you put faith in the brakes of the bus, faith in the skill of the driver. Or you put faith in the grocery store that they're not going to poison your food. Or you put faith in their produce or faith in their dairy. Or their meat. But that's completely opposite of what the Bible says concerning our faith. And really, it's a ridiculous understanding of what it is. We're talking about the Christian faith. It's very quasi-Christian, you might say. It's not a mathematical formula of probability or just a hope that everything's going to turn out all right. No, we have faith defined here in this passage as the Bible always has to do with how we are righteous before God. And we have that in verse 17 of this particular text of Romans chapter 1. For in it, that is, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that verse is very foundational to this whole doctrine of justification. As Calvin said, it's the hinge on which religion turns. Or as Luther said, that it is the key doctrine of all other doctrines, that all other doctrines flow from this one doctrine. And so this afternoon we want to focus our attention on this theme, our justification. That's what we want to do this afternoon, and we'll do that with 3 points. First of all, the great exchange in justification. Secondly, the full acquittal of justification. And thirdly, the true benefits of being justified. Well, first consider the great exchange in justification. Notice again the words of this text. It begins, for in it, as Paul's describing the gospel, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now we have to be very clear exactly what this righteousness is. If you know church history, this was the passage that affected Martin Luther in terms of his salvation. This is the passage that he came to conviction of his own sin, but found grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not at first, not at the beginning. This was a verse of terror. What he did was he compared it with what Paul says in verse 18, where it speaks of the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness. And Luther therefore thought that God's righteousness here, as spoken of in verse 17, was God's holiness. God's character against his sin, and it brought great fear in his life. He thought that this was describing God's anger against him for his sin. What kind of a gospel is that? That's not good news. And that caused him to struggle for a very long time. Listen to how Luther describes it for himself. He says, "Nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the righteousness of God, because I took it to mean that justice whereby God is just and deals justly in punishing the unjust." Luther, in his fear, goes on to say, "I labored diligently and anxiously as to how to understand Paul's words in Romans 1:17, where he says, 'The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel.' I sought long and knocked anxiously for the expression, 'the righteousness of God,' but it blocked the way." Then he began to realize that it wasn't a verse of terror, but it's a verse of comfort. Why did he find it so comforting, congregation? Why did it bring him such release? Well, it's because this phrase, "the righteousness of God," was not describing the character of God against sin. Otherwise, that would make the gospel the most terrifying message on earth. No, there is a righteousness that comes from God, a righteousness that satisfies God and is given to His people. Verse 17 is really the theme of Romans. The great theme of Romans is justification by faith alone in Christ alone. The question is, what is justification? We sometimes speak of justification as just as if I had never sinned. That's the way sometimes catechism students like to speak of it. They're asked that question, and that's very helpful. It's an easy way to memorize what it's all about. But it's not really the full truth of it. It's only partly giving the answer. Justification is more than just as if I've never sinned. Justification, in a nutshell, is an exchange. It's an exchange. The entire book of Romans can be summarized by that one word, exchange. Just consider a whole series of exchanges that we find within Romans. Exchange number one is the gracious exchange that God provided in Christ. As God provided in Christ redemption through His blood. And we read in Romans chapter 5 what that exchange entailed as the Son of God took the place of Adam. We see that in Romans 5, verses 12 to 21. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." So that's what Jesus did. He took on our sinful flesh in order to exchange Adam's disobedience and sin with His righteousness. It's one of the exchanges that is spoken of in the book of Romans. Exchange number two is that which is offered to us sinners in the gospel. As righteousness is exchanged for unrighteousness. Justification in the place of condemnation. That's made very clear in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." All that Christ is, that is credited to our account. You know, the Reformers talked about an alien righteousness of God. They weren't talking about an ET spirituality when they spoke that way. What they meant by alien is that it is not from us. It's outside of the human realm. It's something that comes from God, a righteousness that's provided in Jesus Christ. And so that is one other way that the gospel or the book of Romans talks about regarding this exchange. But we could go on to talk about another exchange that's spoken of, which is a benefit of justification, as unbelief is exchanged for faith, or rebellion is exchanged for trust. We're not saved by our own works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And as the Spirit of God works in us, He grants us the faith to receive the work of Christ in our hearts. And that's so beautifully captured in the way Paul later on describes the faith of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham and called him to Himself. And he says that this was accounted to him for what? For righteousness. So do you see what a blessing it is to be able to say that God has revealed His righteousness to us? That means that all that Christ has done for us is given to us in exchange for our wickedness and sin. That's what justification is. Our unbelief exchanged for faith. Our rebellion exchanged for trust. Our bad behavior exchanged for the good behavior of Christ. Now, what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? Well, children, for you to know Jesus, that's more important than knowing anything else. Let me tell you, children, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. I wonder sometimes if you see it that way. Because sometimes, you know, things like Wii or the Xbox, video games, computer games, that can sometimes come in the place of Bible reading or Sunday school or hearing about the Lord. But you need to remember today that knowing Christ and trusting Him, that's the most important thing that you can know. It's more important than your toys. It's more important than playing another season of hockey. It's more important than movies like Batman or The Hobbit. And that's the same too for you, young people and young adults. Don't forget how blessed you are to know the truth of the gospel. What you are hearing again today is the most important message that you could ever hear. So foundational. And there's no other foundation or premise that can be laid other than this one. Verse 17 says to us that in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And when it says that, what it means is that any time Jesus Christ is preached, anytime Jesus Christ is spoken in His work, that those who receive it by faith are built up in Him. It's the righteousness of Christ that's been revealed to you today. And when Satan attacks you, congregation, or when Satan reminds you of who you were, you need to say to him, what is your point, Satan? What is your point? Because I am in the Lord and nothing, absolutely nothing, can take away my relationship in Him. And remind Satan of his future doom, that his days are short. And instead, believe God's promise, like in Isaiah 61, where He talks about how He is clothed with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns himself with her jewels. That's who we are in the Lord. Or Jeremiah chapter 23, which gives that name by which every believer is named, the Lord our righteousness. You see, that's why this passage meant so much for a man like Martin Luther, this man who tried so desperately to free himself from his sin and who tried so hard to please God with his prayers and fasting and climbing upstairs on his bare knees till they bled to death and counted his beads and prayed his Our Fathers. There's only one hope. It's found in this great exchange between Christ and us, his righteousness for our sinfulness, trust in the place of unbelief. What a blessing that is. And that brings us to another point which comes from this passage. Not only do we see this great exchange spoken of here, it also speaks of the full acquittal of justification. Not only about imputation, it's not only being about declared righteous by God, it has to do with our forgiveness. And that's what this phrase, the righteousness of God, also speaks to the activity of God in salvation, in his saving action. And that's certainly another aspect of justification, our forgiveness. Being completely forgiven of our sins. Thank the Lord for this as well. Now we do have to understand this properly again, because forgiveness isn't just for anyone. Forgiveness isn't just carte blanche, like a blank check for anybody to sign. No. There are a number of people who may have had great experiences in life. They may have gone through some change or have a great desire to change their ways, and they've had a wonderful experience. Michael Jackson used to sing a song called Man in the Mirror, probably one of his more intelligent songs that he used to sing. That was one of the lines in it. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and I'm going to make that change. And that's the way a lot of people might think of change. They might look at themselves, they might want to change their habits, their ways, they want to share more, they want to care more. But that's not what the gospel is talking about. It's talking about the righteousness of God being revealed. It's speaking about forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you can be changed. That's the main purpose of the Christian message. It's the only message that will change us when we repent and believe. And it's the only message that we can preach. You know, when we go to Union Gospel Mission or to Irene Barron Eden Center and we speak the gospel there, that's the only thing that's going to help people. Or when we have our open house in November, that's the message that's going to help others. Because justification by faith alone is a message of forgiveness. And that, congregation, is the greatest message that can be possibly preached. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean for you, children? Well, it means that if you have been bad at home, if you've disobeyed mom, or if you've been mouthy, or if you've had to be disciplined by your dad because you were disobedient, the only way that you can be forgiven is in Christ. It's the same for our youth here today. When you as a young person get mouthy with mom, or when you have an attitude problem, and you realize that this is not right, and you try to smooth things over with your parents by saying sorry, and you know that you've done something wrong, once again, the only way that you can be possibly forgiven is with godly repentance. For worldly sorrow leads to death, but, as God's Word says, a godly sorrow leads to eternal life. And the next time you feel blue because of your failures, or the next time you can't forgive yourself because of your sins, remember to preach the gospel to yourself. Breathe in the life and the truth and the vitality of the gospel. And remember to say amen along with David in Psalm 103, who says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Or sing along with the prophet Isaiah, who's saying in Isaiah 38, verse 17, you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Or agree with the Lord, who said to his people in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Have you, congregation, experienced the forgiveness that Romans 1 is talking about? And does it bring you great joy to believe what Article 23 is stating to us this afternoon? Young people, does that describe you? Congregation, do you know of the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, as David describes in Psalm 32? The man who has had the righteousness of Christ imputed to him. Oh, congregation, that is what we need to know. That is what we need to know. Because God cannot be fooled. May we all know the blessedness of the man that David talks about in Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Or as he says in that psalm, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Because there is a great exchange in justification, and because it provides full acquittal for sin. Well, that brings us to the third point, the true benefits in being justified. And one of those benefits, congregation, as the Belgian Confession speaks of this afternoon, is thankfulness. We ought to be thankful to the Lord for pouring out His Holy Spirit and giving us faith. Faith is a gift of God. As Paul says there, notice again in verse 17, that righteousness of God is revealed, he says, from what? From faith to faith. From faith to faith. It's a phrase that means from start to finish. This righteous standing before God is only by faith. It's not by works. It's not by our goodness. There's nothing good in us, because all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We can't at all save ourselves. It's a complete gift of God. And that gives us, that should give us thankfulness. As Paul expressed that. So he thought about the magnitude of this grace. In Romans 11, he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So how thankful we should be today for God's gift of salvation. It also should make us humble, as our confession says to us. It should make us humble. It should be humbling to think that God could be so generous in saving us. Because who are we? Who are we to the Lord? He didn't need us. He doesn't have to save us, but He did for His pleasure and for His glory. And so not only should that give us thanksgiving, not only should that make us humble, it furthermore should give us confidence. We should be confident in the Lord. And that's found within the last part of this verse, as David or as Paul expresses that in verse 17, in that quote from the prophet Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith." And you know, this is a very important passage in Scripture. It's quoted actually three times in the New Testament. But every time this passage is quoted in the New Testament, there's a different emphasis. And so maybe for the sake of illustrating what that emphasis is, we ought to consider how that is quoted in the Bible. For example, in the book of Hebrews, where we find the quote in chapter 10, there it is, "The just shall live by faith." And we certainly have seen that in our morning services lately, that emphasis on faith as we've looked at chapter 11. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, where we find this quote again, the emphasis is a little different. There the emphasis is in this way, "The just shall live by faith." The Galatians were not living by the gospel. They were saying that Jesus wasn't enough. They were adding to the gospel. They said you had to believe in Jesus and be circumcised. And so Paul says, no, you need to live by the gospel. And here in Romans 1, the emphasis is different. Here the emphasis falls on the just. The just shall live by faith. Those who are righteous, those who are made righteous by faith. And that encourages us in our confidence, because we can be confident in Christ alone. Do you want to be able to approach God without fear? Well, your confidence is in Christ alone. Do you want to get through this week strengthened and encouraged and built up? Well, congregation, your confidence is in Christ alone. Do you need help through the struggles of disease and old age and cancer and the loss of life? Your confidence is in Christ alone. And what if the Lord calls you from this world this week? Tomorrow? Maybe tonight? Again, there's only one way we can approach the Lord. It's by trusting in Christ alone. The Belgian Confession says to us this afternoon, that is the only confidence we have. And so may that be our confidence today. And may we reap from these benefits and many more. Amen.